The promise of Ezekiel from the 34th chapter is that the Lord says, I will take your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh instead. I will sprinkle clean water upon you. I'm telling you, the new heart is exactly the plan of the new covenant in the blood of Jesus. Jesus died so that we might have a new heart. That's why Jesus died, so that we might become new people. Now, we cannot make ourselves new. Now, we can lose weight or gain weight. We can have a facelift or not have a facelift. But when it comes to the spiritual heart, we cannot make our hearts over. It is the Lord Himself who gives us a new heart. And the only thing we need to do in giving or receiving a new heart is very simple. Because Dr. Barnard tells us exactly how it happens. He was the first man, the first doctor, who transplanted a heart. In order to get a new heart, you've got to give up the old heart. It's that simple. You don't get a new one without giving up the old one. Now, you don't give up the old one in a struggle. You give it to the Lord wrapped in the package. Say, Lord, it's no good to me. It's messed me up all my life. And I'm going to wrap it up in a package, and I'm going to give it to you, Lord. I want a new heart. And I want the water of salvation sprinkled upon me. I want to be new creation. I want to be what you want me to be. You see, let me say this very clearly. God does not judge your future by your past. That's what the world does. The world judges our future by our past. God does not judge my future by my past, because the Lord is able to remake my past and come to live in my past and use everything in my past, even the aches and the terrible rejections and the terrible sins and the terrible fights that were in my home. He can use all that. And He can take the pain away. That's what He desires to do. That's why Jesus died. Like, Jesus died to forgive our sins so that we won't have to pay for the price of our sins. Because we can't pay for the price of our sins. You know why? Because it's beyond us. That's why Jesus died. It's a transaction in the blood. The new heart and the paying for sins. It's a transaction in the heart. Now, I'm going to tell you something, okay? Then I'm going to show you something. Now, here I am standing here, and what I'm going to keep on doing is I'm going to keep on banging my head hard. I'm not going to do it hard because I'm not going to be a masochist. Banging my head on the ambo and keep on banging it harder and harder and harder and harder and harder. And someone comes up to me and says, why are you banging your head on the ambo or on the lectern? Call it what you want. I said, because it feels so good when I stop. It feels so good when I stop. Well, honey, you don't have to bang your head because it's been paid for. You don't have to bang your head and reproach yourself. You want to know why? That's why Jesus died. You just have to receive it as a gift. That's why He died. You know, if anyone had any regrets, it would have been the Apostle Paul. He killed Christians. He was a mass killer. And the point is, he said, one thing I do is I forget what lies behind and press on to what lies ahead. Now, I'm going to just tell you, I know he was tempted to keep on going back. But he said, one thing I do, I forget what lies behind and press on to what lies ahead. And that's life on high in Christ Jesus. Now, this new heart is really a sharing in the heart of God, because this new heart allows us to love with the love of God, allows us to care with the care of God. You know, what happens when you get this new heart is that you see that your heart expands to embrace people, to embrace more people. Like, I wonder how big Mother Teresa's heart was spiritually, even though she felt nothing. But you see, her heart embraced so many people. And that's what the Lord gives us a new heart for, to love Him and to embrace people. That's what it's all about. You know, where will this new heart lead me? I don't know. But you know what? I just don't want to be having a cold, stony heart. I want to have a heart of flesh. Does it hurt to have a heart of flesh? Yes, it hurts a lot. Will people hurt you with your heart of flesh? Yes, they will. Will people betray you? Oh, yes, they will. But you know what? The heart of flesh is the heart that God shares with you, and it's part of His own heart. And we've done all those things to Jesus. We've done all those things to Jesus. And He forgives us. So we just have to forgive and move on. Now, it might take some time, but you know what? That's okay. Might not be able to do it all in a week or a month or maybe even in a year. But you know what? God wants to give us that grace so we can move on. See, this heart embraces God and embraces people. And you know, you don't receive a new heart if you're not going to love people. Because why get a new heart if you're going to be selfish? Because if you start being selfish again, I'm going to tell you, you just reach back for the stone heart. And a stone heart doesn't beat. But you say, I'm tired of being hurt. Yeah, me too. Very tired. But you know what? What's the alternative? Being dead? That's the alternative. Being dead. And I don't want to be dead. See, when you're dead, your heart can't love. You can love, but your heart can't love. So, the Lord gave us the cross so that we might become new creations, that we would receive a new heart, that we would love Him and love others. And it's so very simple. And this heart of flesh brings people into our lives. You see, when you have a stony heart, nobody wants you. But when you have a heart of flesh, the Lord brings people into your lives that He never would have brought before. There's an expansion of God's people. And you never know, who else is He going to bring into my life because He's given me a new heart? Who else is He going to bring into my life? You know, that's kind of exciting. Like, I pray for the people who are going to come to me that I don't even see their faces yet. Like, I don't see them. Because you know what? I don't know them. There was a minister here a couple of weeks ago. Very interesting. I don't know if it was here or someplace. Holy Rosary. It was someplace. I don't know where it was. Makes no difference where it was. He says, he brought his daughter. No, where was it? It was in Hanover. He brought his daughter to the healing service, or his son to the healing service. No, it wasn't in Hanover. It was in Divine Mercy. Yep, Divine Mercy, that's where it was. And he had gone to three healing services, and he came to this one. And when he came to this one, I was praying over his son. His son's name was Mark. And Mark is Down syndrome. But, you know, it was a holy moment. As I was praying with these people, it was a holy moment. Power of God, the presence of God. I could even feel the presence of God. The stillness. And you know, the man looked at me, he says, I knew I had to be here tonight because I dreamt of you in a dream before I met you. And when I saw you, I knew it was you. Now, you know, I don't have things like that. I just pray for the people that God's going to send me that I don't yet see. Yet He hasn't shown me people, you know? So that's all right. Maybe one day he will. I'm open to it. But you see, why does he send people? Because there's a heart of flesh. Now, do I sometimes reach out back for the heart of stone? Of course. Do I sometimes want to say no more? Of course. But then I say, you know what? This kind of stinks. Because this is not the way I want to live. I'd rather risk it. And it's difficult sometimes, but you know what? That's all right. The adventure that God brings into people's lives when you have a heart of flesh, you don't know what's going to happen next. You have no idea. Like art comes into my life. Like, I don't know art. I don't know him. I never laid eyes upon him until we were in Coventry, Connecticut. But I knew that I had to tell him that I wanted to continue to pray with him, because two times wasn't enough. Because I want to see him 100%. Now, I could have just walked away and said, you know what? I did what I needed to do. Let somebody else do the rest. But I knew that wasn't God's will. See, you know, we're going to do something. I didn't know what we were going to do. So we had a surprise miracle service, a healing service at the Holy Rosary, and he came. And then Eleanor called him and told him about this, so he came. You see, I never would have met him, and I never would have seen the things that God does if I didn't reach out. I've got a lady that calls me every single morning. She's a Haitian lady. She had an operation on cancer. And she just calls me to pray with her. That's all. Just pray with her. Every morning. Sometimes she calls five times because she never can get me. That's important to her. And I could tell you, she called before the operation, she called during the operation, and she's calling after the operation now. So I think she's like, go come, my friend. She says, I'm going to come and meet you someday. It's like, a lot of people would say, well, you know, just leave her alone now. You've done enough. Like, I don't know the circumstances of this lady's life, okay? I'm not telling you I've been perfect praying with her. Sometimes I'm so busy, my eyes are cockeyed. I can't do anymore. So I say, I'm not going to answer the phone today. I've got another guy who calls me. He's afraid that people are following him. That's a terrible thing. So I make a joke with them. You know what I tell them? When they start following me, I'm going to call you up, because then you have to worry. So he starts laughing. But I'm going to tell you about this guy. When he calls me up and he says, how are you, Father Truman? I'm having a rotten day. He says, tell me about it. Because he knows pain. You know? He's got a heart of flesh. But a lot of people would say, you know, he's just a bother. But you know what? He belongs to Jesus. I'm not telling you I'm perfect with them, okay? I'm not perfect with them. Sometimes I can't deal with it. And I tell them, can't deal with it today. But nobody's chasing you. It must be a terrible thing, feeling someone's doing that. It's a sickness. It's paranoia. But you know what? He only needs a word of encouragement. They're not chasing me yet, so you don't have to worry. And I will call you if they start chasing me. And he starts to laugh. And it breaks it. If it's not about love, I don't know what it's about. You see, if it's not about love, I don't know what it's about. If even miracles aren't about love, I don't know what it's about. Miracles happen because God loves us. And he wants to show as a father how much he loves us. It's all really all about love. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That's love incarnate, pouring his life out for us. It's all about love. Therefore, our lives need to be all about love. Now, none of us do it perfectly. You know, that's real. Yeah, we blow up, we get angry, we stamp our feet, you know, all those things. But you know what? Then we start again. It's about love. And that's what the heart of flesh is about. So that I can love God with my whole heart and my whole soul, my whole mind. I don't, but I want to. And that I can love people. Some people are easy to love. Other people are very difficult to love. But you know what? You've got to make sure that everybody in your package isn't easy. Because that means God didn't send them all. And it's that heart that Jesus gives us. Because he paid for my sins and yours. And because he shares his heart with us. If only a cell, that's enough. The cell that will care, that will expand, and that will continue to care for people in the power of the blood, in the power of the cross, in the power of the Spirit. So sprinkle me with water from above, that I might love as you. Sprinkle me with water from above, that I might love as you. Oh, Jesus, we love you. We love you. Love you, Jesus. Sprinkle me with water from above, that I would love as you. Take from me my heart of stone and give me one of flesh. Be broken heart, be with the sound of love, touch your people who need your embrace, and use this heart of mine. Sprinkle me
with water from above. Cleanse me of my sin. Restore to me my lost innocence and be
Let him love you tonight. That's what he's always wanted to do. He just wants to love you tonight. That's all he wants to do. He doesn't point out your sins. He just wants to love you. Just wants to love you. Give you permission to love me tonight, Jesus. I give you permission to love me with more love than I've ever experienced. Just love your people, Lord. Love your people. That's all we need is love, Lord, from you. All we really need is your love, Jesus. We're bankrupt. We're love-starved. We're also love-starved, Jesus. Just come with your Holy Spirit now and love your people.
Sprinkle me with water from above. Sprinkle me, my Lord.
And love as you.